Today's scripture is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God.
Most of us are certainly aware of the fact that we live in a difficult world in many ways, and particularly as followers of the Lord Jesus, it oftentimes is a hostile world. Peter is writing to a group of Christians who know that, who are living in a very hostile world that has nothing to do with them and wants nothing to do with them. I'm reminded of the elderly woman who had just returned to her home from an evening service at church when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing her home of all of its valuables, and so she, in the darkness, yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38." Now that's the passage that says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven." The burglar stopped in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police, explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man, his curiosity just overwhelmed him, and he said to this man, "Why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was yell scripture to you." "Scripture," said the burglar. "She said she had an axe and 2.38s. Sometimes in the midst of a hostile world, there are a variety of ways that we may respond or be inclined or even tempted to respond. Peter is writing this letter to what the NIV calls strangers. The passage that was read for us this morning refers to elected exiles. And that's a much more flowery term. That's a much more positive, I guess, kind of way to put it. But the truth of the matter is, these elected exiles were aliens. They were strangers and pilgrims. They were in areas and lands that were not necessarily theirs, and they were in a thought process and in a philosophy of life, if you can put it that way, that was completely strange and alien to the people that surrounded them. Peter is writing this, what verse 3 calls, an epistle of living hope. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, in the heart of that truth, Peter is calling for endurance, on the part of these strangers in exile, an unswerving loyalty to the Lord Jesus, which could be, in a sense, the theme of this entire book of 1 Peter. Develop in your life and in my life an unswerving loyalty to the Lord Jesus. Whatever surrounds us, whatever the circumstances may be, we are committed to the Lord and to his service. A courage and a purity and a faithfulness that can only come from him, but is in fact required of him. And so this apostle of Jesus Christ is writing to strangers. They are strangers who are scattered, and they are strangers who are being sanctified. And so I want us to look at those three elements of this brief passage in the time we have this morning. Why were these people strangers? Why were they elect exiles? There are a number of explanations that can be given and are adequate and true. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there were a number of people there gathered from all over this part of the world. They found Christ and they returned to their homes in this kind of scattered way. The passage that was read for us from the translation this morning that's in the bulletin refers to the dispersion. There were many believers especially and Jewish people who were dispersed throughout that part of the world at that point. And so Peter is writing to these people who have been scattered for either economic reasons, for reasons of persecution, for their faith, or for their ethnicity. In a variety of ways and for a variety of reasons, these people have been scattered to that part of the world, and some of those parts are named. Those include some areas where Paul journeyed when he went on his missionary trips. And so Paul's ministry and the God-given success of that ministry probably led to a number of these folks having become followers of Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and through that scattering, they have been approached by Peter. The word, whether it's stranger or elect exile or pilgrim or alien, whatever it may, the word may be that we use, in essence, that's a picture of every Christian. You and I are strangers in this world. One of the concerns that I think many of us have about the church in the world today is that we so often try to fit in. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to step on people's toes. I've used the illustration before, and just recently, the denomination to which many of us formerly belonged years ago was preparing a new hymnal. And when it came to Amazing Grace, they decided that, yes, Amazing Grace, fine, wonderful old hymn, should be included as part of the hymnal. But we don't want a word like wretch. You see, that Amazing Grace, according to Newton's hymn, saved a wretch like me. And the people putting this hymn together were offended by the word wretch. And so they removed the wretch. I don't even remember what they replaced it with, but gently misguided. Something equally foolish. The fact of the matter is, like the Apostle Paul, apart from Jesus Christ, you and I are wretched people. We are just wretched people. It's the grace of God that has made us the joyful and joyous people that we are and can be and should be. But that's a gift that comes from God. It's not something that we stir up from within and make ourselves somehow joyful, joyous people. No, the Apostle Paul himself said, Who will save me from this wretchedness that is me? Thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are strangers. We live away from our true homeland. We are a sojourner. The word is defined, that sojourner is defined as one who dwells alongside in a place where he does not belong. That's the stranger. That's the alien. Years ago, my family moved for 3 years to Australia. And so I finished high school and began college in Australia. And I enjoyed it. Had a wonderful time. But I was always the Yank. It was at the time when the Americans had a particularly strong tennis team. And the Australians had a particularly strong tennis team. And so when the tennis matches would be played and the United States was playing Australia, I was in a minority because I was cheering for the wrong people. I was hoping that the wrong team would win. I was an alien. I wasn't really treated as such, but I was always aware of the fact that this isn't home. We ought all to be aware of the fact that this is not home. This isn't where we belong. This isn't it. This isn't life as we will ever know it. This isn't the best that we can possibly be or have. You see, if that were true, then, and I don't even remember anymore whether it was, who it was that advertised, I know it was a beer, but they advertised you only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can. That's all I remember about it. But I do remember that this isn't the opportunity to grab for gusto in this life, because you ain't seen nothing yet. And so we're strangers. We are not those who belong here. And Peter is writing to us as much as he is to those aliens in exile. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we look for that heavenly country. We should be aliens then. We should be strangers to the ways of the world. Know what it is to love, not to hate. Know what it is to be kind to one another. Know what it is to bring the love of God through Christ to those around us. The world is filled with hatred, and we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are the objects and the recipients of an incredible, incredible love. And it simply ought to show. We ought to be able to point to the one who has given us that love as the source of that love and bring that kind of love to a world that knows precious little about love. Kindness. Of all people, we are the people who should not be rude. You know that we have, I feel and fear that we have in this American culture, we become accustomed to rudeness. We just kind of accept it, unless it happens to us. And then we get ticked off. But the fact of the matter is, we have this opportunity to demonstrate kindness, genuine kindness to those around us. Be patient, not harsh. Patience is lacking in much of our society. We don't like long lines. We prefer our food to be fast. We want it now. And we want everything now. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ are those who have learned to be patient. Those who have received the gift and therefore the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which includes and involves patience. And these kinds of things then will mark our lives to the degree that we allow them. Sometimes we fail to cultivate the grace that the Lord has given to us, and instead we tend to cultivate the forms of the fashions of the hour. And I'm not talking about dress or appearance. The whole concept of this world, the whole philosophy and attitude toward things, life, death, God, don't forget the offense of the cross. So often in life, our tendency is to want to see how close we can get to sin without being burned by it. Where the scripture says that we are to flee at the first sign, at the first hint of sin. Flee. I may have told you the story of the man who was looking for a chauffeur. And he had three candidates. And so he decided to take them to a road along a mountainside where there was a sheer cliff on one side and a sheer drop-off on the other side and no railing. And he said, "Now I want you to drive my car along this stretch of the road, and this is part of your test to be my chauffeur." So the first driver got in and he said, "I'm going to show him how good I am." And he got over and he just got as close as he could to the edge. Just as close as he could. Right along the edge he went. The second man was quite impressed by that and thought, "I've got to do better than that." So he hung both wheels over the edge and drove on two wheels along the edge of that cliff. The third man got in the car and he hugged the cliff. He stayed over just as close as he could to the cliff. And the man said to him, "You're hired." That's the man I want driving my car. That's the man who cares about my safety, his safety, the safety of the car. So often, our tendency is to see how close we can get to wrong without actually falling in to wrong. Where the scripture says we are to stay as far away as we possibly can. It's easy for Christians to begin to accommodate themselves to the ways of the world, and that can be very subtle and very insidious in our lives. And I'm not talking here about an antipathy to life. We ought to love life. Perhaps the Christian more than others ought to love this life that God has given us. But don't get sucked in by the world. We are surrounded by it on television, in books, in our daily atmosphere. The question we need to keep asking ourselves is, what's my motivation? What's my love? What are my aspirations? What drives me in living this life? Don't misunderstand. We are not to treat this world as nothing. We need to be concerned for this society, but we are to witness and to serve in all of the context of allegiance and loyalty to the Lord Jesus and the God who is our Father. We are, and we always will be, strangers in this world. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are going to be my follower. They will hate you as they hate me." And so we need to be conscious of that, aware of that, prepared to deal with that, and prepared to step on toes when it's necessary to do so. Peter says to these strangers and exiles, we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. These strangers are also scattered throughout that then known part of the world. God has providentially placed his people. Be open to his call. Be open to his will. Be open to his way. I don't believe that it's an accident that you are where you are wherever that may be. Pray that as we gather Sunday after Sunday in this place, to be strengthened, to be fed, to be encouraged, inspired, filled with God's Spirit, pray that we would then be scattered into this community, scattered beyond this community, wherever God places us, and in whatever circumstances, for the purpose of winning men and women and children to Christ. I believe it was Francis of Assisi who said that we are to proclaim and preach the love of God in Christ in every circumstance and in every situation, and when necessary, use words. Sometimes the greatest sermons aren't preached, they're lived. They're simply lived out. And others are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, not necessarily by the words that you say or the eloquence with which you say them, but simply by the life that you live, the life of love and of joy and of a genuine peace and contentment and conviction that says, I am planted on the rock, Christ Jesus, and nothing nor no one will move me from there. Individual people need to be set on fire by God to fulfill God's purposes. People outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are lost, and we have the responsibility to bring the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to those who are lost. Because you see, so much of the world that's lost doesn't even know it. They have no idea that they're lost. Things are going pretty well. Things are moving along rather smoothly. And there is no idea, no concept of lostness. But so much of the world does not think beyond this day, this month, this year. What is your eternal destination? Scripture says it can be, and it is, eternal life in Jesus Christ in heaven with Him forever if we know Him and trust Him. And that is incredibly good news. How can we hold that good news within ourselves? When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, people didn't just say, well, that's kind of nice. I'm rather pleased with that, but I'm just going to kind of keep that to myself. Philadelphia went nuts. Philadelphia went absolutely nuts. When you have way, way greater news than we won the Super Bowl one year, you have news of eternity, how can we just keep it to ourselves and pretend that it really doesn't matter to anyone else? It matters deeply to the rest of this world. We must share our faith in the lives of those around us. So we are strangers, scattered in a variety of places, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. To be sanctified simply means to be set apart. This is God's will for us. He calls us to obedience and trust in Him. God is working in you. Let Him do that work. Encourage that work on the part of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is the author of sanctification, and He uses the agent, what Clark talked about earlier as the tool, the greatest tool in that bag. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God draws us to Himself, gives us that truth, enables us to live that sanctified life, leads us in the direction that we should be going, that straight and narrow way. Here is where our foundation lies. Jesus, in His prayer in the Gospel of John, that's recorded for us there, said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit continues to set us apart, continues to make us more holy, so that we might be found as God would intend us to be. You think of a child who has been instructed by his or her parents not to go to a particular house because the word is out that there is a highly contagious, infectious disease. And in fact, there's been a notice posted on the door, and the family in that home has been quarantined for a brief period of time until the disease has passed. And so that no one else will catch that disease, no one is to go into that home. And so the child is instructed, you may play in the neighborhood, you may play in the park, but you are not to go to that house. But the child's best friend lives in that house. And so he disobeys, and he goes. And he gets very, very sick. Oh, he recovers. But he needs two things right away. He needs to be forgiven, having repented of disobeying, having confessed to his parents, I did disobey, I went into that house, and I'm not feeling so hot right now. He needs the forgiveness, but he also needs the cleansing. The disease that he has caught in that house, he needs to be cleansed of that. And sometimes that can be a painful and long process. So it is in our relationship to God. We have rebelled. Forgiveness has been offered in Jesus Christ. And the cleansing work of sanctification goes on in your life and mine, day by day and moment by moment. And sometimes that brings us to the mountaintop experience of great, great joy and rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. And sometimes it brings the fire of cleansing so that we might be purified. Whatever it is that God brings, and whatever it is that you may be facing this day, as a stranger scattered in this world, know that your Father is setting you apart as his child for his purposes to bring glory and honor to himself and great, great joy and contentment to you for Jesus' sake. Father, we thank you and praise you for the wonder of your word. We thank you that indeed we are strangers in this world. Sometimes we confess we feel more stranger than at others. We pray, Father, that you would enable us to understand whose we are and whom we serve, and that as strangers who have been scattered throughout this world, being sanctified by the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, we may know that living hope through the new birth that is available to us in Jesus Christ. Bless us to that end. Bless each one here as they go from this place into the world where you have placed them. May we bring glory and honor to your name for Jesus' sake.